Hi, Kelsey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. I'm okay. This is one day that I don't have to take my daughter right at 10. She stayed at my parents last night, so
That's awesome.
I can be
Yay.
on
And
time.
it's so nice to have parents that.
No. Although they're not very helpful, to be totally honest. It's a rare, like, I'm breaking down, I need your help, that they, but yes, it is nice.
Yeah, I totally Hi, Corinne. Hi, Suzanne. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Calvin. It's good to see all of you. I'll give everybody another moment. See. All right, let's. Who else can I say hi to? Hi, Anne. Hi, Kara. All right, let's get started. So, I posted something quick in the Facebook group yesterday just to get you guys thinking a little bit. And what I posted about was worry, M my old friend, worry. And I wanted to just kind of like have it be a little bit of a theme for this week, for us to really be thinking about and to be aware of, right? Because we all, yeah, involves saying friend, that worry is a friend is so loyal. It's so true. All of us here, we already know ourselves so well. We already know so much about self-help. We're therapized. We get the worry thing, right? I don't need to get into it with any of you. And that being said, there's a difference between understanding that worry isn't so productive and actually, well, a difference between a few things. Understanding that worry isn't so productive versus being really aware, like in a real way, of the impact that worry has on our lives, on our businesses, on the quality of our days, on our ability to make good decisions in our businesses, in our ability to show up in the ways that we want to for our clients. And then there's even a difference between all of that, like for real awareness and being committed to shifting the pattern. Being committed to shifting for the pattern. And as always, we aren't going for perfection. I'm the first to admit that I will never be worry-free completely. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. But that being said, there is still so much value in continuing to be on top of it, in continuing to catch myself when I go there. And notice how, even if it's very subtle, how it's affecting my thoughts and my feelings and my actions and my energy. And then reminding myself of a higher truth. Reminding myself that not all concerns end in catastrophe. Reminding myself that there is a different way that I can be approaching a situation and moving through my days. So take a moment, if you haven't already, for yourself, just think about how is worrying impacting you? How does worry impact you? How does it impact your life? Your being. Maybe it impacts your work with clients, or your business decisions. Your energy level, how is it impacting? I'm going to ask just a couple more questions about this so you can kind of think a little bit deeply around it. What's the difference between being worried versus being aware and maybe even concerned? I don't know what the right language is there, right? But define for yourself the difference between worrying versus being aware and concerned. And then last question. So I'm not going to lie, there have been some times where my worry has led to a better outcome, right? Like I'm up in the middle of the night, like, oh my God, right? And then it worked. And then finally, like the solution drops in. So I'm not going to pretend that that hasn't happened. But what I will say is more times than not for me, the worry leads me down the rabbit hole and makes me less effective. Whereas the aware and the concern are what yield the solutions and the forward movement. I don't even know if there's a question around that. I don't know, I guess it's just consider that for yourself. maybe the question is like, how often does your worry lead to what you want for yourself versus the aware and the being aware and concerned? And last question, what's one thing right now in your life, in your work with your clients that it would actually benefit you to worry less, to shift from worry to awareness and concern? Was one place in your life right now that it would really benefit you to make that shift? I see a lot of smiling faces. All right, anyone want to say anything about this, what you're seeing, anything that you want to add? You can raise your hand, share it in the chat. Yeah, Kelsey.
I just see the slow power stuff all over this, right? That the worry is this, I went to the energy of it. It's fear, it's anxiety, it's fast, it gets me moving, it's in my head, it's the do, control, control, control. Like come up with the solution versus this awareness is like, okay, here's some potential things that I need to think about and be aware of. It's slower, it's more open. It's the creative spaciousness that even if it happens in the middle of the night, it comes from the space and not from the forcing. So this energetic of the slow power that you're harnessing more power to make happen what you want to have happen if you're not wasting it in this constricted, tight tunnel vision place where you can't really get to the answers.
Yeah, I love it. I love how you're relating it to slow power. And I can see how there's pieces in that, if not already, you know, in your curriculum, that would be really helpful. Mm-hmm. And while you're talking, like one piece that came to me, you guys always know, like I always say, like I'm not all positive thinking. I don't think, you know, only positive thinking is helpful, right? Like it is okay to see the negative things or the things that aren't working, but it's like, how are we approaching them? And I think you just articulated that really beautifully. So thank you.
Yeah, how do you hold it? Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Anne.
Yeah. So just walked into my house. One of the things that struck me when you asked the difference between worrying and being aware, I hadn't really connected how much of an energetic difference there actually is.
Yeah.
And that with the worry, it's a very frenetic survival mode, even when it's, you know, kind of higher life function things that I'm worried about. It's not accessing my best problem solving. It's not coming from a place of taking a step back and really examining what's so and considering what's aligned and what's workable. It doesn't have an energy that allows for the generation of solutions.
Yeah.
And it's really important for me, not only for, I mean, especially for my own life, to be able to connect that difference, but connecting that for myself also gives me access to witness and mirror for my clients which energy they're in and help create awareness for them around what's usable energy and what's not usable energy.
Yeah, so beautifully articulated from start to finish. And yes, it is so important for us to take this in for ourselves, but also to bring in with our clients to help them be aware. And while I can't for sure say what I'm about to say may not be scientifically sound, though actually you may know, Anne, or if anybody else does, but I'd be willing to bet on it that most of our brain, or at least the reptilian part of our brain, can't distinguish between worry and real like stress or fight or flight. It just reads it as the same thing, right? And just consider the impact of that.
Yep.
Yeah, good. Kelsey, yeah, Kelsey. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Kelsey. She's bringing some fancy words in that I almost never use. Good. I'm so glad somebody here knows. Karen.
I think I'm just going to reiterate all the things that's already been said. It's like when I worry, it increases my stress level. And when my stress level increases, I am more likely to act from a shadow self, to act from my limiting beliefs, to act from that, those patterns that gets in my way just kind of increases. When I'm acting from a place of being aware, it's like I'm taking some breath, I'm in flow, and I'm more able to access more of my wisdom, more of my authentic self than when I'm under stress.
Yeah, I love that. I love how each person is like articulating it for your brand of leadership.
Right.
You know, it's so great. And that's, it's so, I think, helpful to think about it that way from a shadow perspective. Like the stress is like the quick road to the shadow being triggered.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Suzanne.
I noticed that I've got a lot to worry about at the moment, but I'm mostly in concern. But then if someone says, aren't you worried about, or they bring it up, then I'll trigger over into the worry. Or the other thing that can happen is I feel judged because like, how are you still getting things done? And or, like, you know, I should be crying in the corner. But then I notice my own judge come up because it's like, I've got all this going on and I'm still managing to function and you're carrying on about this. So it's all interwoven.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so much in what you're saying. And the piece that I'm going to pull out is that I think that this awareness is really important in general, but in particular when you're working with your clients, right? Because they may not have that ability that you have to compartmentalize even when you're worrying. So it's so important for you as the practitioner to be aware of that. And as you create awareness for your clients around whatever they need, you know, to both take a stand for them and also make sure your judge isn't in the way when you do.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Nicole.
Hi. I'm not so much affected by the worries of my clients, but for myself, I'm aware when we talk about this that I first go in some kind of discipline mode, survival mode, and some kind of military discipline. I have to do this, I have to do that, but I can overdo it. And to some extent it helps, but then comes some kind of turning point and then it doesn't help me anymore. And then I get some kind of, there's just some rush in my head and I'm trying to force things.
Yes.
And there are some beliefs that come up. So it looks like the first part, okay, well, it helps. And then I go in survivor mode and there's the judge and the victim and it all's kind of it mixes all kinds of emotions.
Yeah. So, yeah. 100%. So much in what you're sharing. And then the piece that I just want to pull out for you right now is that I've really noticed you over the last 6 months, we've spoken about this too, like you've really in a more committed way started to work on your tendency to kind of fall into or revert into your less evolved masculine, like how that's kind of an MO for you. And if really seeing you work on this piece. And I feel like what you just shared is the next finer detail of it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go into worry, that more militant, you know, we have to get uber organized, is that safety place of the, you know, there's so much about the masculine that we need 100%, but then some of the like old wounded parts get people in there too. So that's just good for you to start to notice even more and track when you get worried.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Laura.
So it came up for me immediately. The first thing I wrote was worry takes me right out of trust. So it disconnects me immediately from source. And that I'm probably in a limiting belief, but also seeing things in a limited way, like wearing like limited, looking through limited lenses. Like if I take those off and put on a new lens, what's there? Yeah. You know, but for me, it's all about that. Am I disconnected from source or am I connected? You know, am I asking what would spirit want for me here? Or am I just trying to spin my wheels? And I notice for me, it really affects how I am with my family the most, because I feel like I'm in an energetic, like agitated state and I'm not present anymore.
Yeah. A lot of important pieces in here. I love this. So, I mean, it really struck me as, you know, when we worry, we're ejected from trust, we're disconnected from trust. It feels so important. And I feel like there's a lot continuing to come back to that for you, Laura, is really important. And then this awareness that because when you're with your family, and I can resonate with this, there's so much frenetic energy, there's so much going on, you know, whatever it is, that it's actually easier to go into down those worry pathways in the brain, right? So to be aware of that too. And then what can you do to circumvent that? You know, is there, you know, for me, one of the things I'm always working on that sometimes I'm more successful, sometimes I'm less successful, is like a real just break in between work and being with the kids, just to kind of like ground myself, not just so that I can be present, but so that I'm not kind of swirling right energetically from the day. Good. Okay, good. So I just really want to encourage you all to continue to think about this over the next days, to be aware, to see when worry comes up. And to the more that you can be aware of when it comes up, the more you then have a choice on what to do with it. All right. So all that being said, let's jump into our clinic time, our Q&A time. Feel free to bring forward anything that you need support on, whether it's around client work, group work, marketing, an inner piece that you'd like some support on, systems, messaging. What have you guys got going on? What do you need support on today? Kelsey.
So it's not the most well-formed question, but I'll speak it and then hopefully it'll become a question. So I did my presentation, as I put in the group, and then I forgot to record it, which was a disaster. And then I rescheduled it, thanks to everybody's comments. I did another one. And one person came, another person came kind of half the time, but it was enough for me to record it and feel like it was good. And the person who came signed up. So that was good. Now it's only a week out from when I'm supposed to be starting the program, and I've totally stalled on doing any marketing. So only the people who have been to the presentation are the only people who know about it. My list doesn't know about it yet. Like, nobody knows about it. And the early bird price has also come and gone because now a week ago. So I actually have a question, like, obviously it's easy to get rid of that from the website, but it's like, if you only had a week, I mean, I know I need to do some individual outreach. I'm stuck. I only want like one or two more people in it. It's going to be a really small group, but I do, I want to get the video out of the presentation and let people who weren't able to come see it. I want to obviously start to talk about it. I have in my head that I have to write a whole story and I have to write a whole thing because I've pinged my list a couple times with sort of things for me and I want to add value. I'm just stuck. And today is when I literally have to do it. So I have that. That's maybe the main thing to start with.
Okay. We'll get to solutions in a second, but before that, I'm gonna just noodle you a second, and it's okay, you can disagree. I think I'm stuck is one of your MOs, and it's actually less true than you think it is, but it's like your thing that then you actually do get stuck because you tell yourself that you're stuck.
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm making sense.
Perfect sense. For sure. It's my resistance, right? When I have to try something.
Yeah, it's like your resistance archetype. Exactly. It's like, I'm stuck, right?
I don't have any time and I'm stuck.
Yeah. I don't think you're stuck right now. You've been in flow. You've made great strides. Like in 2 weeks, look at how far you've come. There are a lot of things to celebrate. You've been taking a lot of actions. You're at a point of choice and a point where you need to gather some energy to keep on going, but that's different than stuck. And I just want you to be aware of the difference.
Yes. Yes. It's a story for sure. It's a limiting belief. It's the worry. It's all of that. And it's this. And it feels bad, and then I don't sleep, and then I have a story, I'm too tired to write anything today, and you can see where this goes.
Exactly. So I can see you're aware of it, and I want you to be even more aware of it. Like, I really want you to catch yourself in it even more, because you're not stuck, and you actually have the ability to shift energy when you want, right? There are certain times, of course, where you're so mired in it that it's harder, but I actually think this is an easier fix, you know, for lack of a better word, than you oftentimes realize it is.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. I mean, totally. It's a limiting belief, and it's a story, and it keeps me stuck. It's the wheel of self-sabotage.
Right. So that's why I'm saying I want you to break the wheel. I want you to break the pattern. I want you to eject yourself, be more aware so you can eject yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. All that being said, yay on things happening. Like, they are happening. You want just one or two more people in. And it is going to take a little bit of work, right? Like there are some things, but this doesn't have to be an overwhelming thing. So first thing, like you said, make a list of people to reach out to individually. Okay. You don't have to write a big song and dance letter. It does not have to be a Megillah. Easy breezy connection, not a lot of words. Let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know this is going on and you think it would be a great fit. Would it make sense? Right?
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, you have the video of your presentation. You already have written many words about the presentation itself and about slow power. I know it can sometimes feel like, oh, I've already emailed so much, I don't want to again, but think of it as follow-up, right? You've heard me talk about this before. The only thing I ever learned from my tennis lessons, which I abandoned after one summer, is that when you are trying to get the ball to where you want to go across the net, it's not enough just to hit the ball. Like that's what you've done so far. You've made contact, but in order to actually get the ball to where you want to go, you have to follow through with the swing. You're in the follow through period. It's like, you know, everything that you've done up until now is actually awesome because people signed up, but you want to follow through to get it where it wants to go. Will there be some people that get annoyed that a couple more emails are coming out? Yes. I can't promise that that's not going to happen. And that's okay. They'll either be annoyed and hang on because they love what you have to say. Or if they're not so into you, this annoyance is going to be the thing that has them opt out. And that's okay because they weren't into you. So I think that you've already done, like, you have a great foundation. You've got the video, everything you've already set up with emails about the video. It can be so close to what you've already written. Send yep. out two emails. That's it. And then whatever you send out in the emails, you want to post it on Facebook, you want to post the video on Facebook or Instagram, whatever social media you use, use the same copy, post it there. Mm-hmm. You'll get your two people for sure if you do each of those things.
Yeah. I have a story that 1 week isn't enough, but it's whatever. It's not that big of a program. It's
Let me tell you something. The next round of curriculum lab starts at 3 p.m. today. Somebody signed up for it 5 minutes before I got on this call.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then the question about early bird pricing, would you just like remove that? Is like now that, you know, just have it be the non-early bird price for the last week so that people who, since I didn't say anything about it, but other, you know, I don't know what I
would take the early bird off.
Okay.
Yeah. You can offer it to the people that you reach out individually. You can offer that pricing separately. You know, just let them know in the email, you're not going to see this price on the sales page, but because of our relationship, I'd love to offer it to you for blah, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to do it?
I am going to do it. I have to do it. I mean, literally, if I don't, then everything I did leading up to this is a waste of time.
Let us know at the end of the day how far you've gotten.
I will.
I can push you on this.
I will. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Karen.
Hey, you got this, Kelsey. It's been my experience too that one or two people sign up like just before we begin. Thanks. Like 5 minutes before is the last one, almost every time. Yeah. All right. So I have, I'm kind of coming up against what I believe is this really deeply held belief around being too much as a woman. And it's coming up in the, so we did the Face Your Dragon. We launched it. We filled it. We got like 55 people in it. It's just like, wah! it's really happening, and it's this beautiful group of people. And in that, I am now in like, okay, we have the outline of the curriculum. So every week it's like, okay, we've got to flesh it out, got to write the script, got to have good transitions, let's pull in some good stories. And I'm doing this with my partner, who is an older man. And so, and who's kind of got a lot of warrior energy. So I have to really up my humph to meet him there and to insert my wisdom, my experience. And I get frustrated. I get frustrated when he writes his piece, I see it the morning of the call. So it gives me no time to kind of like you say, noodle it, to fit my pieces in with his pieces. Like, it gives us no time to have a cohesive message.
Yeah.
And it makes me angry. It's like, what, don't you think that I have any wisdom to bring? That's kind of what comes up. There's also pieces that I bring into the training that in the Q&A sessions, he doesn't even think of mentioning it. Like, he answers it when I'm like, it's already like, I recorded it. I recorded a visualization that will address exactly that. But it's almost like he doesn't think of it because he didn't do it, my judgment.
Yeah.
So I expressed his frustration over dinner tables with my husband. And over having had this now happen for several weeks, my husband is saying, well, you're just too controlling. Like, you just need to be in control. Like, why don't you tone it down? And it's just like, whoa. Is it my need to be controlling? Or is it really that I'm meeting patriarchy here?
Or something else.
Or something else, right? And I know that there's a big not good enough in there. So it's draining.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And as you're speaking, and I already kind of sense this as you were moving into the program. First of all, I just want to say yay on bringing in 55 people. I watched the marketing unfold. It was amazing. Yeah, I knew you guys were going to hit it out of the park. Anyway, I kind of knew that even as you were going in, and I also could feel that this was going to be a personal growth opportunity for you in more ways than one. So, what's the growth opportunity for you around this piece that you're bringing up? Don't answer from here. Answer from here. What's the growth opportunity that's right in front of you?
Knowing that I know enough.
Yeah.
Like, owning it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, knowing that, right? Knowing that you know enough. Let's look at outer first. What are the outer pieces that want to be put in place to support you in knowing that you know enough, or to help you assert that you know enough?
I don't totally understand what's the outer pieces.
Yeah. I'm going to lead a little bit with this question. Yeah. What needs to happen in your relationship? I forget his name. With David.
Yeah.
For you to be firmly seated in your knowing enough. Not that it's his responsibility, but I sense that there's something in the relationship that for the both, there's a growth opportunity for him too. Like, as you were speaking, I was thinking, you may have your own stuff around this, but I think there's a growth opportunity for the both of you.
Mm-hmm. I think what's coming up for me is like this sense that I'm kind of tiptoeing, mm-hmm, around, like, I know how to create a good presentation. Like, I might not know exactly how to do it, but I know what it looks like when it's done well.
Yeah.
I know when you answer that, like, you get the whys, you kind of get the, like, I know the process of it. And I'm sometimes afraid to speak up because of his fragility. And is it really his fragility or is it my dad's fragility, right?
So in a way, you're saying that he doesn't trust you enough, but in a way you're not trusting him enough either.
No.
Yeah. So what would it look like if you didn't tiptoe around this and around his, you know, quote unquote, fragility, which he may or may not have.
Yeah, my actual question now, am I projecting that onto him? Because I've grown up with men who were just, you could not point out their faults because there was so much pain around it that they would get angry with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it may be your projections.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that it's not black or white here, right? Mm-hmm. He does have an element of fragility, but he's not your father.
Mm-hmm.
He is a shadow work facilitator. He has a deep level of self-awareness. What would be a pattern break here for you? And even for him.
I think to actually have a conversation about it and not just keep moving forward.
Yeah, I just got chills when you said that.
Yeah.
How do you want to show up in that conversation? What energy, that's the question, what energy do you want to show up with?
I'm coming up with a lot of knots, but how I not want to show up. I don't want to be apologetic. I don't want to be in a place of apologizing for being too much, being too controlling, but like just owning it. Like I am controlling and here's the reason why.
Yeah.
And if my control is too much, if I'm overstepping my boundaries, please let me know. Yeah. I can back off, but this is important. There's 55 people here. I want to give them a really good ride.
Yeah.
And I really want to give them such a good ride that at least 12 of them are going to sign up for the bigger program when this is done.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah.
I hear, at least how I perceive the energy that you just spoke with, is that you're in your power.
Mm-hmm.
You're respecting yourself and you're respecting him. You're trusting yourself and you're trusting him with the conversation and with your expression of self-respect.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. If there was one, you know, we can never control outcomes of situations, right? We can control how we show up and what we want to bring to the table. But if there was, this may not be the right question. You can tell me if there was one outcome that you wanted to work towards, if that is the right question, what is it?
If there is one outcome I want to work towards, it's to not be afraid to assert myself and insert myself. It's almost like we've fallen into this, that he takes on the thought leadership, and I kind of fill in the, like, here's the experiential pieces here, how it ties together, right? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's I feel like I've been pushed out of the thought leadership.
Yeah.
And maybe it's that I've also kind of stayed out because it's felt safer.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So it's about asserting and inserting myself.
Beautiful. And last question for now, what's in it for him?
He get his legacy. This is like the training that he's dreamt of for,
like, but what's in it for him for you to be more assertive?
He gets somebody to meet him, right? It's like, there's that warrior energy. Like, if he gets met, if he gets, like, if I can meet him in there, it's like he feels seen and heard and acknowledged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. How is all of this feeling for now?
Really good. Yeah. I don't feel like crying anymore. It's actually a sense of, like, that empowerment in like, okay, yeah, no. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And you also have some great comments in the chat section as well.
Oh, I'm going to go read them now.
Beautiful. Thank you. In a sentence, what are you taking? I know you're feeling more empowered. What are you really taking for yourself?
It's okay to be controlling. That's not a bad quality.
Don't let that slip into the shadows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Beautiful.
Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you.
Thanks for all the comments. I'm going to read them now.
Michelle.
Hi. Can you see me? Oh, there we go.
There you are.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I was just a bit of a transition with Hunter and being in my work day. I just loved what I'm just going to turn. Okay. You mentioned, but you were taking us through looking at awareness and worry. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Yeah. That was right up my alley, as you know, what I'm working on personally and in my business. And so I just wanted to share a celebration. I have an online client who's in Switzerland, and she has a very high powered job with the UN. So she's used to and a higher management now. So she's used to managing people. And sometimes she slips into where as I am learning how to assert my boundaries and move from my boundaries from a place of integration, it felt really good to approach my communication with her from that place. And when she asked for a refund this morning, I'm so happy with myself. I did not move into stress response. In fact, the opposite happened, where I felt like relief and I could actually see what was going on from, like, another perspective. So not in the stress response perspective. And so that felt really good. So that celebration and the refund was not because she doesn't want to work with me. It makes sense right now because she's moving to the UK into a new job. And that this way we can, I saw it as an opportunity to reset and to look at scheduling from new eyes when we meet again. And I wrote her a nice email, writing it from my place of, these are my boundaries, but she was writing it from her head. I could tell because there was no heart. And normally when we have our face-to-face, there's more heart in it. So that's where I felt like she was sort of managing me like a subordinate. but I didn't let that change how I wanted to share myself and how I want to run my business. And yes, I could, in from the coaching, like I could take certain words that she used and put them in there, but I could still have that come from my energy. So kind of reflecting back to her. So I felt like that was a big thing for myself.
Yeah, so beautifully done. I mean, on so many levels, I'm so happy to hear it. And I agree, because I know a little bit about this client, like probably you guys will come back together and it will be a good thing. But I understand the relief of letting her go for now. It was just the container was wobbly because of the fact that she has
growing. Yeah. And as I re-examine my practice, in how, as I set my kind of say new baseline for my practice and doing it from a coach container, I see exactly what you just said about like, where is the container wobbly? Where is it solid? And I can see also now how in the restructuring, and it doesn't mean I have to restructure every person, but going forward with my pricing, with my time, with how we schedule. So I'm going to do some work where I'm going to put together some ideas for going forward for pricing and packaging, which I'll share with you later. So I don't feel I need the support right now. I feel like I should do a dummy copy of that and see what I come up with, and then check in about in this shifting my practice. It's kind of coming back to the Connect Four, or whatever, like those, the things are still dropping and settling into place. So I feel good about that.
Yeah, I'm so glad. And I feel like, Michelle, this is the culmination of some really big, it's a kind of like a small incident, right? But it's a big incident. Like it's the culmination of so many pieces that we've been working on over the last months around number one, not worrying so much, like being grounded and knowing that all is well. Number two, being able to assert your boundaries. Number three, not just over pleasing people. So just really well done all around. I'm glad that you're celebrating it, and it's a moment to really take in, because I know a lot of hard work. There was a lot of work that it took to get to this.
Yes.
Really well done.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think too, and also in my scheduling, it's all going to have a beautiful ripple effect in this resetting. And also in my boundaries, it's like, I have enough standing weekly clients. Now I have, now everyone has to schedule at will. Like, here's what I have available.
Yes.
And I can see now it's like, I have my steady Eddie for moving forward. And then once I kind of make full circle, the steady Eddies will start to shift a little bit, because I'll be informed from this new place. So yeah. So I feel much more, I can feel a stability coming, not because of like raising pricing and feeling more money come in, but the stability starting from inside.
Yes.
100%. Yeah. So, thank you. Yeah. I just wanted to share that and to be continued.
Yeah. I'm so happy. So well done.
Thank you.
Calvin.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, great. I didn't exactly know. I thought I could figure out how I exactly wanted to phrase this before you got to me. But I think, unlike most of the folks here in the class, I am not actively coaching. I'm in a bit of a transition professionally. 2020 has been a lot for me. And I'm currently experiencing a loss that is impacting my ability to move forward, it feels like. I'm a single dad, and I have primary custody of my three kids, and sometimes my three kids turn into four when my partner is here. And I just lost my live-in au pair. So weird to get emotional about this stuff. Sorry. My live-in au pair, who was just a blessing to me in providing me with some freedom and the ability to pursue my dreams. And anyway, I lost her last week. She had a really unhealthy relationship, and it was just really unhealthy cycles of breaking up and getting back together. And she decided that it was best for her to go back to Brazil. So I'm trying to juggle all these things. And when you talk about worry, I've been feeling a lot of worry. So I really appreciate you helping me understand the distinction. I have to start off the call today, Joanna. Anyway, so I took last week to just sort of understand what it felt like to have my kids full time again, like full time. And where I might energetically be able to carve out time to work on my goal, which is to have 2 paying clients by the end of the year, or by the end of this year, start of next year. And my true question before I got all emotional was about, I'm carrying this belief that I have to have a program. I have to be able to articulate what it is I'm going to be helping these people with. And I feel as though perfection is becoming an enemy of mine. I feel as though I'm putting too many obstacles in my own way. And now that my time is much, my alone time is much more sacred and less frequent, I really want to be able to maximize that time. And I don't know how to, after all that blueprinting we did a couple of weeks ago, I sort of feel like it just exploded because I have like 30 less hours a week. And I'm trying to figure out if am I putting too many obstacles in my way? And do I need a program? I have this, my dad's from Nigeria. Your heart is for making decisions, your gut's for taking action, and your brain's for counting. And my gut wants me to go, and my brain is interfering, and I need help getting unstuck. And I would love wisdom from the crowd in putting yourself in my shoes, getting started as a coach, and what nuggets of wisdom do you have for me to get going?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing all of this forward. And I'm so glad that you're also asking the community and want to encourage people to put some things in the chat. And I may even take a couple of you voice to voice. And I'm going to share some things also. So first of all, I'm glad that some of the emotion around the loss of the au pair came up. Calvin, I can't even imagine, going from having all of that support to not with 3 kids. what power. It's so much. It's so much. I think it would be for anyone. And first thing I just want to say is I think the emotion is coming up because there is more of it there. Oh, yeah. And right. And one thing I know from my experience is that when I don't allow my express my emotion, I worry more. It's like so I want to encourage you to, in the space or make space for yourself, just let whatever wants to come up and through come up so that you have all of your wherewithal and your energy to make the best decisions that you can and all that. Cause it's a lot. I mean, 2020 in general is a lot. And then throw this on top of it, you know.
Oh, I don't want to like drag everybody down, but it's been a lift. I lost Ita on Friday, and Monday I found out my grandfather passed away. And like, it's just like, I know it's all happening for like a really wonderful reason. And every turmoil that's ever come into my life has turned into like something so amazing. But
yes,
they gotta ride the wave.
Yeah, 100%. And so because this happened and because your grandfather passed, I would also just like encourage you to give yourself, and I know I already said it, but I want to emphasize, like, give yourself some space, right? You will move forward more quickly from a grounded place. And sure, with these losses happening, right? It's like, you know, of course. So I just really, that's one thing most important is to create some space for yourself. And if there's a way to get some child care in, even if it's not the 30 hours a week, that would be, I think, one of the next.
With COVID.
I know, it's so, I was thinking, it's so hard. It's so hard to let people, I get it. And if there is any way, even if you get 5 hours a week, that's 5 hours, right, that you didn't have. So those are kind of the foundational pieces. Give yourself space. And if it's possible to get childcare, those are going to help so much with the business actions. From there, to answer your question, you do not need a program. That is not a good use of your time right now to develop a program, to develop all the different ways you're going to help people. It is for another time, but it is not for this moment. If you're looking to bring on 2 clients, the kind of the quickest way is to just, number one, you do want to get clear on who the ideal client is, right? I don't know where you're at with that, but if you have a description, if you want to share it in the Facebook group, I'm happy to take a look. We can all take a look. But just to be clear on that ideal client and some of the issues that they have that they would want to come to you for support with. And then that's it. That's all you need to make invitations for people to have conversations with you. And then in those conversations, have you listened to the enrollment conversation workshop? It's the real long 5-hour one.
I have not.
Okay, no. So I'd say
I've been working myself, working through the Your Sacred Business content and really getting kind of clear on my direction, I think, and who I want to work with, I think. And that's the best I can do until I...
Totally. And it's going to change, by the way, it's going to change 10 different times.
Exactly. I expect it to. Yeah.
That's okay. Right. Like 100%. So if you want to share where you're at with all of that in the Facebook group, I personally would just love to see it anyway. You know, and so long as you have that, what you can start to do, then the next step, even before you invite people into conversations, I'd listen to that 5-hour. It's long, you know, do it in sittings, but so that you feel like you know how to lead someone through an enrollment conversation. And then from there, easy, casual, invite people into conversations. You'll have questions as you go along the way, definitely ask questions, but don't, right now is not a moment, it's never a moment to make things more complicated. And I think getting clear on the program and all the things and blah, 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 you know, when you're in conversation with people one by one in enrollments, you'll see, okay, this is where this person is at. This is where this person wants to be. And in the conversation, you can fill in the dots. This is how we can work together. This is what we'd be working on. This is how the work can help, but you don't need to sort that all through in a formalized program at all. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it is. I think certainly helpful in getting me to sort of focus on the meaningful next steps.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
I think you got a lot of support and ideas in the chat section too. So definitely
cool. Thank you all.
Laura.
Thank you, Calvin, for being so vulnerable. I just want to say that, and thank you. So my question is about my Facebook group. I have a Facebook group, a free Facebook group, and I am never in there. I am in there periodically. I go in there sporadically, and there's 72 women in there. And I don't know. They're saying like I'm in there. I'm just not in there consistently. And I'm wondering, I'm unraveling why that is. And I think part of it is I know why I have the group. I know the mission of the group. And that really is to provide a space for women to cultivate a deeper connection to spirit within themselves and to the creative and the spiritual within themselves, and really draw from that. But I don't, like, for me, it's like, well, first of all, one thing I've been putting so much focus in the group that I just filled, the private, the actual group program. So that's really where everything has been directed. So there is that piece. I'll acknowledge, I honor that. And that type of process and group, you know, I feel like I know where the journey's going. Like there's a journey that we're creating, and I'm creating the curriculum as a journey, just like, you know, what I learned from Curriculum Lab, which has been priceless. But with the free group, it just feels like this big open space. And I'm not quite sure how to be in the big open space, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, what am I, how am I leading? Where are we going together?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're asking the right questions. Like, what really is the purpose? And I think, you know, you explained the like philosophical purpose, you know, to have this space for spirit and creativity. But I'm not sure that you've defined the business purpose.
Right.
So yeah. That's the first question for you. What purpose does it hold within your business?
Well, and loosely, I feel like it holds the, you know, building that kind of community that's there, that is my ideal client, because if they're there for that, then they're most likely an ideal client, hopefully. So there's that, like almost like building that in a deeper way. But yeah, there's just something outstanding for me. I'm not, because usually if I know something, I just go full on. I'm there 100%. I'm fully present with whatever I do. And I'm not with this. So I'm like, what is the thing, the little thing that's niggling in there?
Right. So there may be a little thing niggling in there. I trust your inner wisdom, but it may also be reorienting around how a Facebook group works, because it's social media is, it has a different life cycle within a business than a lot of our other efforts. You know, like a marketing launch, you know, is like, has a beginning and an end, and you hopefully see results between like the beginning and the end. You know, doing an outreach campaign has a beginning and an end, and you see tangible results, and you can also like really see very clearly this worked, that didn't work, blah, 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 you know, running a program, right? Beginning and an end. Social media by nature doesn't have a beginning and an end. Unfortunately, for better or worse. And so its life cycle is just very different. And it's more of like a support to all of those other pieces in your business. It's less tangible in a way. That's the best way I can describe it, right? So what you shared about community, I think is a great reason, right? And we want to kind of stay focused on the why. So we know the bigger philosophical, you know, mission why is because part one of your missions on the planet is to provide this kind of space for women to be connected to spirit, to be connected to their creativity, to be connected to their power. And this is another way of doing it, right? But it's a loose way of doing it. So then we also want to stay connected to the business why, which is that this group can potentially be a great vehicle for people that you have people that have stepped in for sure, but people that haven't yet stepped in to working with you in one way or another to not only get the mission, like be in the mission, get the magic, but to get to know you over time, mm-hmm. to then get more ready to cross over the line into being a client, right? So this is for a marathoner, not for a sprinter.
Yeah. Right.
And you want to kind of wrap your mind around it in that way.
Right. Yeah. As you're talking, I almost saw or thought about maybe even mirroring the journey of the group program that just started, the elements of that group program, and just injecting them into the free Facebook group. Not in a linear way in any way, but just.
So, yes. So you want those topics in the group are your thought leadership, like, you know, foundations. So you do want to talk about them in the Facebook group, not as in detail, not giving all of the tools, not giving the handholding and the experience that you do in the paid group by any stretch of the imagination, but you do want to dip into those topics and activate interest in those topics and show that you're an expert on those topics, and make it's less about teaching on those topics as it is making those topics so deeply relevant to the people in the group.
Okay, that's really
helpful. You actually already have a roadmap there. And as well as just the topic of the overarching program, right? You want to be speaking to that as well. And then what I'll just say is this, like I see this in myself with my Facebook group. I need a plan. When I'm not sticking to a blueprint for the group, mm-hmm. I can go days, even over a week without posting in there. So I've actually for myself, just in the last week or two, have come back to my practice of at the beginning of each week, I plot out the 3-4 posts that I want to be posting in there. And even if I don't at the beginning of the week write out the whole entire post, I know like I want to do a meme on Monday. I'm going to post a newsletter article on Wednesday. I'm going to post something personal about this topic on Friday. But when I have that plan for myself with the dates, I'm much more likely to show up more. And I always see engagement go up when I do that.
That is so helpful. I don't know why I didn't think of that, of having just a blueprint for that group. Because yes, when
like you say that, for the group. Exactly.
Yeah, when you say that, I'm like, oh, that gives me structure and clarity. Now I can work within that. And I didn't have that, the walls or whatever. I was just like out in space going, why am I here? What am I doing?
Yeah. And so what I like to play with is different, like a rotation of things. So sometimes something where I go a little bit more in depth than my teacher, never as in depth as I do in my programs. Sometimes a meme, just because it's a quick piece of wisdom that a lot of people can like, in posts that are gonna engage people, whether it's a survey or asking a question. Some of you guys may have seen just this week, I don't know why it took me this long. I was like, oh, I can like, I asked a question about great podcasts to follow. I've seen posts like that all the time, but I was like, you know, I never bring my personal, like I need help here in this group. You know, people love to help and to share and whatever. So, you know, that's another great way for people to feel more connected to you as well.
Thank you so much. So helpful.
Good.
I love it. Thank you.
Great to move forward with that. Great. Involved.
Sorry. Yeah, my main question, I mean, there was like so many things swirling. But my main question is like, if I do one thing, like I'm actually beginning to like have some space and inspiration. But it's not about like you know, it's more like I really want to help people, especially, and, you know, just thinking about like former clients or, you know, even about like colleagues that I could reach out to. And I am trying to find like the least effort action way to just like start reaching out to people. And so I keep getting caught up in like, do I offer like a 3-month program, like to just like get through this season? Or do I make like a special offering? Or do I just go, you know, just like my regular thing, but actually reach out to people?
Actually reach out to people, what?
Yeah. Actually write emails.
Instead of just planning in your head and maybe like
on worrying about it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, I have this one former client who I love, who's like, been like, I want to catch up.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like,
Inbal, I think you know the answer to your question. So first of all, I just want to say I am beyond thrilled to hear that you're starting to feel some inspiration. Can we celebrate that? I haven't heard that, those words come out of your mouth in a really long time, that you're having some space and feeling some inspiration. You know, and a big mistake that we as human beings can make is like, we're starting to feel a little bit of space, we're starting to feel a little bit of inspiration, and then we just fill up the time with lots of things. Like, it's like, I'm done with my space, I got what I need. I really want to encourage you to like continue to be, you know, it's not always going to be spacious, but you need more recovery time. And you can tell me if you disagree with that. I feel like you need more recovery time. So I'm not even so concerned. Like, I want you to do outreach, but I like save it till next week. You know, I mean, continue to give yourself like the big space. That's number one, what I would just say, and celebrate it, because it's been a long haul, you know? I mean, it really has. From there, you are skilled enough, and I stand by this 110% Inbal, you're skilled enough to, in an enrollment conversation, to hear where somebody's gap is and where somebody's vision is, and then determine what the bridge is and how long the program should be. You do not need to spend time beforehand figuring that out. You can tailor that for each person. I don't recommend someone beginning at, you know, in the beginning to do that, but you know, I do that now. You know, I just tailor based on what people need. You can do that, especially in this moment right now, when you go to take action. I don't want you to like overthink. It's not about doing a lot of things. It's literally like that client is on your mind. Open up an email box on your screen, mm-hmm. and just the way you would talk to her naturally, just write to her like, hey, I'm thinking about you, wanted to reach out and see how you're doing. I'd love to connect, mostly because I'd love to connect. But also, you know, if this happens to be a moment where you'd like some support, I have a couple spots open on my calendar, so we can talk about that too. Yeah, but either way, I want to hear from you, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be those words, but just don't overthink. Be your amazing self and just be direct and reach out to people. That's it.
Cool. I have one, a related question. I was thinking, I don't know if this is like needy, or, you know, I feel like that there's some sort of like that I want to look like I, yeah, like have things, but like asking my current clients, like in a group email, is that weird?
I don't think it's weird at all. If you are willing to spend the time, I would do it one by one emails, just because I think it's going to be paid more attention to. It's probably more effective that way.
Just kind of like a, yeah, like
same
note. By the way.
Well, are you talking about sending them an email?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not by the way. I for me, if it were me, the subject heading would be like, you have a question for you, or I have an ask, you know, like a deep ask for you, or deep ask sounds weird, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and just say like, I adore you. I love the work that we're doing together. I've finally finished up a massive consultancy that has taken up so much of my time. I've got a spot or two opening up in my calendar, and I really wanted to fill it with someone who blah, 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 right? Just describe the person you're writing to. And I thought you might, you know, the me, you know, the power of the work. I'm wondering if you know anybody that might be interested. Casual, with love and intimacy, you know, that's how you want to do the outreach.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Shawnette.
Hi there. Hey, sorry, I couldn't get, I couldn't get connected to the computer, so I was on my phone, but it's all sorted now. Thank you so much for your feedback on my wait list. So I had some thoughts around that. What if I did a Zoom call Q&A for invite only for, you know, the clients that I'm inviting in, and then also did a call that is on my wait list that's maybe a week later or 2 weeks, probably a week later. And that's, you know, the call to action. And it's an actual Q&A Zoom call where people can be invited in as a group.
Yep. So first of all, just for everybody else, I just finally started doing Loom.
That was cool. Yeah.
Like, you can do a video where it's like your screen and you talk. And I did one for Shawnette on her page. If you guys have a chance, check it out. I talk a lot about copy and marketing, and I just think everybody can learn from it. So I just want to make sure I say that.
Yeah.
I've shared this a couple of times, and I feel like you're not going for it. And I don't know if it's because it's not, there's like resistance, or you're just not like, so I just want to make sure. I don't think you should have a waiting list.
Yeah, I know, but you, because I'm in Sweden and the time difference is so big, I'm finding that if I put a call, you know, to call and connect, that I might lose some people because they might feel like that's too big of a step. And so, yeah, I am having some resistance around it. And I think it's also because I'm in Sweden and, you know, they're either in America or they're in another country, and it just might be too hard for me and for other people to book in calls, individual calls. And so if I had them sign up for a wait list or a like a Zoom call where everyone comes together, then it feels like I won't lose people, but maybe it's just because it's the unknown and I haven't done it before.
So, I mean, I trust your inner wisdom, but I do want to challenge you on that a little bit. So number one, like, I'm here and you're in Sweden and we've found ways to connect and have connection calls and all of that. You're not the only person overseas here. I have clients in New Zealand, and also Suzanne is here from the other side of the world, right? So I kind of just want to bust that myth. The other thing is, anyone that's going to, almost 98% of the people who are going to end up on that page that you have are people that are already on your email list, and they would be getting information about the Zoom regardless. So it's not like you're doing these big ads and trying to catch people into your list so then you can promote a preview. You know, that's not going on. Like, you have 98% of those email addresses to let them know about the Zoom, which I would recommend that you do. And number three, you really have almost all of the details of the pro. It really does read like a sales page. So I always go with, you know, your inner wisdom. And if you want it to keep it as a wait list, do it that way. But I would really recommend using it for people that want to sign up to talk to you, you know, to have that conversation so you can catch them right away. And to also do that Zoom call that you're speaking about, and email everybody in your community about it and share about it on Facebook. What I would say is stay away for previews. This goes for everybody. For previews, stay away from a Q&A call. And instead do some teaching on the topic. And then speak about the program and then open up to Q&A. The reason is because unless you're already in a program like this where we have Q&A calls, to have an open Q&A call about a program isn't activating enough for people to come and show up. Like, but if you're going to share with them something that is new, that's going to help them, they're more likely to show up. And then as you speak and as you also share about the program, questions will be generated.
Okay.
Okay.
So something that's activating.
Yeah. So, you know, for example, I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. This may not be it, but your program is called Awaken the Inner Priestess. So you may want to do a teaching and some work around what your inner priestess is, why it's so important to awaken the inner priestess, what can happen for you, right? Or the six foundational principles of awakening your inner priestess. And then those six principles are basically like the six of the main pieces of the program. You're not teaching on them, right? Similar to, I was sharing with Laura about her Facebook group, same thing. You're not, that's for the program, but you're activating interest around it.
I love that so much. And I just wrote it down on a page. I drew a butterfly wing on. That's so cool. I love that. Thank you, Joanna.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That sounds more exciting too.
Good. I'm so glad. I know this is a lot of new, you're doing a lot of new things at once. So I really want to, you know, give you kudos and just honor, like, you're in action, you're moving forward, and it's amazing. And so I'm excited to see what's next.
Thank you. I have a question around pricing too. I think I've probably made a mistake, and I had three, as you know, I have three clients that say, oh, I want to do it. I want to do it. And the one client, I started to feel intuitively that maybe going from the New Zealand currency to the US dollars just might be too much for her. So I sent her a message saying that I would allow her to pay in New Zealand dollars. But now I'm feeling like I shouldn't have done that because she's in the group. She's in the group that I'm teaching right now, the 7-week group. And so now they all are getting to know each other really well. And so I've said, don't say anything, but now it's created this, you know, something in me that it's like not really fair. And now she's having to hold information from other women that she's getting to know. And so I know that it's my lack of, you know, self-worth or whatever, that's scared that I'm going to lose people for, you know, bringing the prices up to where they actually need to be.
Yeah, so I hear you.
How do I remedy this?
Right. So I'll just tell you quickly right now what I would do. This may not be what you would want to do, but I'll share with you probably what I would do. And then you can kind of see from there what makes sense to you. I mean, you could always tell this one woman, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. Mm. You know, I think I personally probably would not do that. I have to think on it a little bit, but I think what I would do instead is honor what I did say, unless it just felt so terrible, right? Unless it just feels like such an icky exchange, then I would just be honest and say, I didn't get the numbers right. I so want to support you and help you with the price that I spoke too quickly. And I just really want to apologize for that.
I feel like I have to honor what I've already said.
So then what I would do is I would honor that for her, if you really feel that.
Yeah, I do.
But I would have a special pricing for everybody else in the group. That's not as much as for people outside of the group. That is a middle ground that feels good to you, but will feel in any event, I almost always have special pricing for people that have worked with me before, right? So it's just a nice way to honor the relationship, you know, and honor the person for having already invested. So I think, if you do that, right, then you can still honor everybody in the group. You made the one mistake with her. And if it comes up, I mean, always transparency, right? I made a mistake. I wanted so much. If it comes up in the group, which it probably won't, but if it does, like, I'm just gonna be honest, this is what happened. And in order to honor my word to her, this is what I'm doing. But in order to honor each of you, special rate, right? So if it comes to that.
Yeah, I did think about doing that, a special rate for them. Because I mean, they are in New Zealand, they're making New Zealand dollars. I know how it felt when I was in New Zealand making New Zealand dollars. And then, you know, doing programs outside, having to pay US dollars, it's quite a big leap, you know? And so I really want to honor them, but also honor myself, because I am living in Sweden and it's really, really expensive to live here. You know, it's
very... I think you're clear, and just transparency, you know?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Now, okay, so my next question is, the last time we spoke, I said that 9 women would be enough. And then someone else spoke, I can't remember who it was sharing something, and it was like dominoes that went do, 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 do. And I realized that I'm again playing small, and I'm again being in my comfort zone. And I actually would really like more than 9. It's just that I'm afraid that I won't be able to get more than 9. And so then I'm, you know, like, ah. So, you know, how do I get my stuff out there, my priestess training out there to new people that haven't done my work? Because at the moment, all the people that are working with me are people that have met me, do know me, without having to spend money on Facebook ads.
Okay, that is a much bigger question than we have time for right now. And Tammy, I'm gonna get to you in a moment. I'm gonna say a couple of things and then to be continued, because I want you to first work on the people in front of you. This is for everybody. We always wanna work on the people in front of us first.
Okay.
So I always wanna go with what your vision is. And if your vision is to have more than 9 people and you feel that in your heart, then go for that. What's important to know, and I think you already do, is the way you market for a program to bring 9 people in is a little bit different than the way you market for a program to bring 10 plus people in. Depending on how many, with the amount of people that I know you have in front of you, right? So to bring in 9, it's really a lot of the grassroots ideas that we're talking about here, adding in some Facebook, etc. You may even with that, possibly even 10, 11, 12, I mean, you know, something like that, but in that range. Once you want more than that, then what you really are looking at is you need to build your community. And so if it's not going to be Facebook ads, which in some ways is the easiest, aside from the fact that it costs money, then you need to start, you'd want to, for example, organize a joint venture project where you get a lot of different specialists in and they're promoting to their lists and you're doing something for them, something like, you know, an online summit or conference or giveaway. Now that takes months, a few months, especially the first time you do it, to really get in place. And then you need some months after that to market your program once people are just in, right? So that's one way, starting to get on podcasts, and then you have a free gift and then people come into your free gifts because they hear about you on the podcast or, you know, so those are the ways, but those are, Shamet, those are longer term plans where if you wanted to do that, I know we were talking about February start date, I would say push the program out. If you have to invest your time in those activities.
I really, really want to do an online summit. I've sent you an email about
that. So, I mean, if you started planning for the online summit now, the summit itself would happen in February at the earliest.
Okay.
So then you're talking about March, April. I mean, I would push the program to April or May. So I'm not giving you enough to like create a full plan right now, but these are some things to think about. Okay.
Thank you. Thank
you. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And that would be a great thing to blueprint out in our blueprinting call also. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That was very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really loved Loom. That was fun. Mm-hmm. Everyone check that out. You'll see all my spelling mistakes.
Tammy.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for taking me. I try to make I've been working on like what I'm gonna say in my personal kind of video for my transition. And I made like my first draft that I felt pretty good about, and I sent it to you so you can watch it. And I feel like I did a pretty good job of, you know, speaking from my heart and kind of telling the story without it dragging on and kind of getting to the point. So you'll just let me know what you think is needed and stuff like that. But I'm just first,
Can't hear you. You put yourself on mute.
Can you hear me now? I just wanted to share that it was more difficult than I thought it would be. And just finding the right words. Do I share too much? You know, like there was a lot that came up that I was kind of surprised about. So I think it's good that I've been doing a couple of drafts.
Yeah.
But I do want to be seen for what I've been through and what I've held. And I think that's important. And so I'm kind of working on that email and I'm hoping to get it out for the new moon, like a Friday or something. I think that energetically would be good for me. And so when I usually send out my emails, there's this thing at the bottom that kind of says like how I'm available, but I feel like maybe I should just either leave that out. Like, do I leave that out or do I kind of share like how I'm available moving forward? You know, it just kind of says like the difference.
Absolutely share how you're available moving forward, 100%. People are gonna wanna know, Tammy. Your community is loyal and I know you're making the video for you to be seen. And I'm not surprised that it's been hard to find the words because it's like, this is a business video, but it's also it's another part of the release journey of your current space, you know, all the things. And absolutely let people know in this video and also continuing to move forward how they can still work with you 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would even say, I don't know if you already said it in the video, I would say, like, you know, I know a lot of you are going to want to know how we can continue to work together in the future. And I want to share with you all the ways. And you can either say it in the video or just point them to, but I would actually say it in the video, like have them hear it. You have a captive audience watching the video, have them hear it in your voice with your energy.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of didn't get to that point. So I'll have to work on that piece.
Okay.
And then I just wanted to share, like, I've been thinking about what it is I want to do as far as like a ritual where they can take from me, as if they haven't taken enough. we talked about the rocks and the words, but I realized like what one of my dreams and passions for like my time off is to make a deck of tarot cards. And so I was thinking this could be kind of like a place where I can play a little bit. So I have years of my travels and photography that I'm going to kind of make on like a tarot sized card with a word on it, and then people can kind of just take and see what they pick. And I thought that would be kind of fun for everybody.
That's amazing. I love it so much. If it doesn't feel cheesy, put your website on it. Let them know where to find you again.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, you guys, I know we went over time a little bit today. I hope that today was helpful. Before you rush off to whatever you're doing next, take a moment and just note for yourself what you're taking for yourself from today's call. So much came through, so many ideas, hopefully a lot of inspiration and inner pieces. What is the most important piece that you're taking for you? What is something also that you want to take action from? Whether you and I spoke voice to voice on this call or not, what's something that you're going to work on based on inspiration or ideas that have come through this call? I'd love to see it in the Facebook group. I would love to hear your updates and your questions in between sessions. So I will see you all there, and I'm sending you all a big hug. I'll talk to you soon, and I'll see some of you at 3. Bye.